Amen. Take your seats and take your Bibles and turn to Matthew 22, Matthew 28, and 1 Corinthians 11. Matthew 22, Matthew 28, and 1 Corinthians 11. It's the fifth Sunday, so we'll have Lord's Supper today. But I want to start with just giving you an update on our building, and then I want to do a review of our core values, and then we will take of the Lord's Supper. I will tell you that we will not be in our building next Sunday. But I actually do believe, as much as I'm able to believe, and my faith has been tried through this whole season, that it is very highly likely that our first Sunday will be February the 13th in our new building. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Can I say thank you, Jesus? Now, everything that needs to be done to be able to be in our building is scheduled to happen this week. I will tell you, the one that I'm primarily concerned about, because anything to do with the building itself is mostly cosmetic stuff. I could have church in there this morning if they'd let me. But the fire inspector will be here on Thursday, and just pray that he likes the way everything's set up. We did it how they told us, and so that's my primary prayer request. There's still some punch list stuff and some cosmetic things we're working on, but I'm telling you that on the 13th, I'm going to have to preach hard because those seats are comfortable. They're a lot more comfortable than these. I'm just curious, how many of you in this service right now have never attended a worship service in our worship center? I'm just curious. How many have never attended a service in our worship center that are here right now? Praise the Lord. I really believe you're going to get to, even those of you that are PCSing this season. If we're not in there by then, y'all might be looking for a new worship center and a new pastor. But anyway, I'm just kidding, just joking. I won't say that I haven't been frustrated. I tell people I love the people at East Leesville Baptist Church. The buildings and I have a love-hate relationship, but I love the people of East Leesville Baptist Church. But God is good. We'll be in the Lord's Supper today, the core values. Then next Sunday we'll start our series on the book of James. The book of James. If you've ever read James chapter 1, anybody know what that first verse says? Count it all joy, my brethren, when you face various trials. And so I think we've already lived out James chapter 1. We might just skip the, well, no, we're gonna get there. But our core values, say them with me: love God, love people, seek the lost, and make disciples. Do it again: love God, love people, seek the lost, make disciples. If you're not yet starting to say, I'm tired of hearing those, we've not been talking about them enough. It's very simple. It really is the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. So I want you to look at these two passages of Scripture. I want us to be reminded of what God's challenged us to, and then I want us to just take time to respond to Him and take of the Lord's Supper. Matthew chapter 22, beginning in verse 34, we really see where I get the love God and love people. It's really not anything fancy. It's not anything fresh or new. It's just the mandate that God has given us as His church. Look at the text, Matthew 22, beginning in verse 34. But when the Pharisees heard that He had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. There'd been this back and forth between all the religious leaders and Jesus, and they're trying to trick Him. They're trying to trap Him, which is just really kind of funny, really, when you look at it, that you're trying to trick Jesus. You're trying to fool God. You're trying to catch Him in some kind of trap. And they heard the Pharisees had been silenced, the Sadducees had been silenced, so they're going to give it one last try. And one of them, a lawyer, asked Him a question to test Him. And, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? You see, they argued about this stuff all the time. They would argue about this is the most important law, this is the greatest law, and they divided them up into categories, and I mean, they just were really bored. They didn't have anything much to do, but they're sitting around arguing about which is the greatest law all the time, and they figure if He says one law over the other, He's going to make somebody mad. Which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Really what Jesus did was He silenced them. Because if we really love God with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind and all our strength, we will live in such a way that all the other laws just kind of fall into place. And if we love our neighbor as ourselves, we will be more and more like Jesus. And so this is where we get our two core values, love God and love people. If you remember back in the first Sunday of the year, that seems like a couple months ago, or in some ways feels like a couple. Has this been a long January? February, March, April are going to go quick. And we're going to be sitting there in December saying, where did the year go? But it feels like it was a long time ago when I preached the last time. But I challenge you to love God and our finances. I quoted from Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And I gave you those three cards somewhere around you if you've not seen these. There should be an envelope somewhere close to your family. And I challenged all of us to join in a six-month tithe challenge. We've had about 90 families that have joined in that, and I'll be sending you more information over the next 6 months. I'm not going to ask you to send in your last year's W-2 and see if you're really tithing or not, but I just want to encourage you in giving. And then in that, those two others, our missions giving goal, which I'd ask you to pray about and to turn in sometime today or in the next little bit to let us know how you're going to support our One World, One Mission. And then I introduced you to Next 75. Next 75 is a play on the fact that we're celebrating our 75th year, and so we're thankful for the past, but planning for the future. Next 75 is our capital campaign. We are no longer doing Together as One. We're doing Next 75. And if you give $100 in Next 75, here's what's going to happen. Now, I hope some of you are going to give thousands of dollars in Next 75, and some of you are going to give hundreds of dollars. Some of you are on a fixed income, and all you can do is tithe, and you're just going to be faithful in your tithe. That's all you're going to do. That's fine. We understand that. But for those of us that can, and I say us because your pastor's never going to ask you to do anything that he's not going to pray and obey the Lord in as well. You give $100 in Next 75 today, and then later on this week, Monica's going to write a check of $50 to pay on our principal to what we owe. $50 of that will go straight to principal. You say, how's that different to Together as One? Together as One was helping us make our regular payment. We had set our payment a little bit above the minimum, but we were just making the same payment every month. If we get a $100,000 check for Next 75 tomorrow or later this week at the end of each month, $50,000 of that would go straight to the principal, right to it. Another $10,000, if it was a $100,000 check, another $10,000 would go to missions, 5% to cooperative program. If you don't know what that is, I would encourage you to Google Louisiana Baptist Cooperative Program and see the dozens of ministries that we support together with the other thousands of Louisiana churches and then the other 47,000 plus Southern Baptist churches throughout the country. We have over 3,600 missionaries in 120 different countries that we support as Southern Baptists. We have over 4,500 church plants in North America and Canada that we support as Southern Baptists. We have over 10,000 men and women at our seminaries that are preparing to be pastors and missionaries and ministers all over the world that we support through our cooperative program giving. In the state of Louisiana, we have a missionary on every college campus. Christian or non-Christian, pagan or godly, we have a missionary on every single campus that's supported by our cooperative giving. We have benevolent ministries all across the state, the disaster relief folks that I hope we never see in our area again, but I pray God can use them wherever else they are supported by our cooperative program ministries. And so 5% goes to our cooperative program ministries and 5% goes to our One World, One Mission. If you don't know what that is, I encourage you to go online and check that out. And we have church plants that we support in Texas and Louisiana and Wyoming and Colorado. We have missionaries that we support in Italy and Germany and Zambia. We have other ministries that are getting ready to start up that we'll support. We have Beyond Our Walls, which is a ministry we do that feeds hundreds of children every weekend that otherwise wouldn't have food. We have the Big Give that gives uniforms and backpacks and other supplies to school children when they get ready to go back to school. We have a benevolent ministry that whenever we have a need in the church family, and sometimes, oftentimes, even outside the church family, we care for that need. We support Helping Hands. We support a benevolent ministry within our parish that people traveling through town can go through our sheriff's office and get some gas money and get some help as they're traveling through town. We give away thousands of dollars every year, and that comes to our One World, One Mission. It's actually pretty nice when you send them to the sheriff's office because then you're pretty sure you're not getting scammed out of anything, right? If they're willing to go to the sheriff's office to get it, and then we feel better about that. But there's tons of resources that are going on, and 10% will go to that. The other 40%, so I started with 100, but then I went to 100,000. Didn't you see how I raised that? Did y'all catch that? I could write you a $100,000 check, but you don't want to cash it. But I can write a $100 check every month for the next 75 years if God keeps me alive. I could write a little bit above and beyond my tithe every month, and together we'll do more together than we can do apart. But the other $40 out of 100 will go into a capital campaign, a capital fund that will help to make repairs on our campus as they come up. I share with you the example. If we had to replace the air conditioning unit in the worship center, which I almost guarantee we'll have to do in the next 5 years. One, it's really old already. And two, it's been stressed beyond me. I've been stressed the last couple years. It's been stressed even more. It would cost us $50,000 just to replace those units. You know what our annual maintenance budget is? $50,000. And I almost guarantee you it'll be something else that breaks on this campus this year. And so we'll have to, that'll help us have some funds on hand where it won't mess up our budget. Maybe some of you don't know this yet, but if you've been in the D building, that's our educational building that's connected to the worship center. Man, I'm talking fast, aren't I? Y'all good? Y'all got to listen fast. The ceiling fell in a couple weeks ago. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Just something else. And so we've got to fix that and fix some other things while we're doing that. And so those funds would be available to make those types of repairs and to plan for the future. I've got one more building in me before I leave East Leesville. I do. I've told y'all about this, right? I told y'all this when I came. One last building that'll connect this building, the worship center, and the student building. And my primary goal is my mamas don't have to go back in the rain after they drop off their babies. All right? But neither do I. Amen. Praise the Lord. And that will connect everything to the campus. I'd like to build that in about 5 years. So I've learned in Vernon Parish it's going to take me at least 10. All right? But I'm going to start planning for that now. I'm going to start thinking about that now, dreaming about that now, praying for that now. And some of that process is going to take a little bit of funds. Listen, these funds won't be spent unless it's approved by the building and grounds, the finance committee, and other committees. It's not just some loose fund that we're just going to use any way we can, but it'll be funds we can use to help take care of the resources God's given us. So I challenged you to love God in your giving. Here's the deal. All I ask you to do is this. Pray, listen to the Lord, and do what he says. I'm going to make you a promise. You're going to hear about Next 75 at least once a month until this church is debt-free. I promise you that. At least once a month, you're going to hear about Next 75 until this church is debt-free. So if you don't want to hear about it anymore, right now we're at about $1.6 million. If you can write that, we'll cash it. Amen? If it's just going to bounce, don't write it. All right? That's not going to help me any. But why do you say that, preacher? Because I just believe God wants to free up that money for us to do what's next. And we're gonna focus on that. But we're not going to wait until that's paid off and not plan anything else until it's paid off. By the time it's paid off, we're going to be ready to go. And so love God, love people. I challenge you to love God in your giving. Here's how I challenge you to love people. Because I love the preacher that preached on love people, but he didn't say anything about loving people. He preached a great message, but he didn't say anything about loving people. And I'm glad he preached what he preached, because he talked about how great Jesus was. And that's why we should love people, because they need to hear Jesus. They need to know Jesus. And so here's my challenge on love people. You need to be serving somewhere here, and you need to be serving somewhere out there. You need to be serving Jesus somehow in your church body, but you need to be serving Jesus outside these walls. How are you loving people outside these walls? There's somebody in your circle that you can love on better than I can love on them, because they're not even in my circle. God's put them in your circle. Whether you're involved in just having them at your house and loving on them there, or you're involved with our local ministries like Helping Hands and other places where we love our community. Listen, there's a ton of y'all that are already volunteering there, and I thank you so much. It's amazing to see the number of volunteers from East that Helping Hands has. And we ought to, because the director goes to church here, and we ought to support somebody that's doing a ministry like that. And there's more of you that can, but where are you serving people? Where are you serving people? Love God, love people. Love God, love people. And then the last two are seek the lost and make disciples. Matthew chapter 28. This is the Great Commission. You heard a great message on making disciples. You heard a great message last week on seeking the lost. What are you doing to make disciples? What are we doing to make disciples? Listen to what Jesus said. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age." Seek the lost and make disciples. You can't make a disciple if you're not a disciple yourself. If you're not walking with God and removing yourself from the sinful things of this world and growing in Christ, you can't make a disciple. You're not where God would have you to be if you've not yet received Christ and been baptized. Now here's the reality. preacher, I can be saved and not be baptized. Amen, you can. But you can't be right with God and disobey him in baptism. Some of you this morning, you've been saved, but you need to be baptized. It won't save you. If it would be what saved you, I'd make sure somehow I'd have dunked every one of you sometime in the last 3 years. I'd have pushed you in a pool or something in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, whatever. But what you do is declare to yourself, to the world, and in obedience to Christ Jesus, you follow him in baptism. Some of you need to take that step. You need to take it today. You need to say, I'm surrendering. When can we schedule the baptism? Let's get it on the calendar. Make it right between you and the Lord. It's a step of obedience. It's obedience. God still loves you. He's not going to love you anymore when you get baptized. He's not going to love you any less if you decide not to get baptized yet. But you need to obey God in that. That's your challenge, to make disciples, to seek the lost. Who are you pouring into? Who's pouring into you? Where are you plugged in that you're growing in the Word of God? I challenge you to seek the lost. Over the next few weeks, you're going to hear more about who's your one. We talked about this right before COVID shut everything down. We were starting to do who's your one. We're going to reemphasize that over the next couple of months and over the rest of this year. And then we're going to start our evangelism outreach effort starting when the time changes, from the time changes in March to the time it changes back in November. Every Tuesday night, we're going to have teams going out. What we're asking you to do is be on one of those teams. If you're on a team, it'll go once a month, except when there's five Tuesdays, and then we're asking whoever can come on that fifth Tuesday. We're asking you to give eight Tuesday nights to either show up and pray and write cards and make phone calls, or to go out and make visits that we have lined up, or to go out and do some door-to-door evangelism. It'll be every level of comfort, whatever you're comfortable with. We're asking you to join one of those teams. I think every single church member should be involved in those efforts. I'm going to lead a team. Joy's going to lead a team. Jason's going to lead a team. And K-Mac's going to lead a team. And so you're going to be getting phone calls from us. Will you be on my team? Jason's already trying to pick all of them. And I'm saying, listen, this is like the NFL draft. You don't get any more picks till we get some. Amen? All right? But I challenge you to tell somebody about Jesus. It can be as easy as writing a note or making a phone call or visiting. We'll do some even like that are just shut-ins that need a visit. There's somebody just to love on them. But we're going to try to share Jesus with everyone that we go to. We'll start that in March. You'll hear much more about that. And I challenge you in the area of making disciples that, first, are you growing as a disciple? Here's how you measure. Not that you've reached perfection, because you won't get there on this side of heaven. You're just not. You're not. Some of you may think you are, but you're not. All right? But are you closer to Jesus now than you were a year ago? Are you more like Jesus now than you were a decade ago? Are you walking closer with Christ than you ever have in your life? That's where he got me a little bit over the last 6 months. I've not backslidden. I'm not quit reading my Bible. I just found out in my heart there was a time I was more excited about Jesus than there was where I was the last 6 months. Y'all hear me? Y'all feel me? Don't look at me all spiritual. But I just realize if you're further from Jesus than you were at one time, who moved? It wasn't Jesus. Now, I want to give you some grace, and then I want to give you some hard truth. God still loves you. God's still there waiting. But we need to move. We need to grow in our walk with Christ. Here's the good news. No matter how many steps you took away, you're never than one step away from coming back to him. He's always waiting. He's always waiting. I'll tell you what it was for me. It was just, these last 2 years have just been heavy. Heavy. Nothing has gone the way that I wanted it to go. I really don't think I can name anything that has perfectly gone the way that I want it to go. Life's just been messy. But can I just remind us, is that not life always? How many of y'all, everything's gone exactly the way you want it to go during your life at any point or juncture? Now, there's been some really good moments. There's been some really good times. There's been some really joyful events. But I promise you, if my perspective is on, it's got to be perfect or I'm going to be down, I'm always going to be down. And so what God challenged me was, hey, change your perspective. One, he's not done. This is not my home. And God is always moving. How's your walk with Jesus? You can't be a disciple that's making disciples if you're not a healthy disciple yourself. God wants us to walk with him. Who would God have you to pour into this year with the gospel? I promise you, if you have the title mommy or daddy, I know where some of your disciple making needs to be happening. It's with our children. But if you have the title friend or colleague, there's others that God wants you to disciple as well. We need to be disciple makers. Love God, love people, seek the lost, make disciples. I think it's going to be a good year. I thought that in 2020 too. There was some good things in 2020. And there were some tough things. I thought, man, 2021, it's over. Let's go. And no. 2022 for sure. I hope so, but I don't know. But I do know this. God is on his throne. He's not done working. And if you're breathing, he wants to use you. What's it going to be? Love God. Love people. Seek the lost. Make disciples. Maybe. We need to stop this morning and just readjust, refresh, recommit, and just remember we serve a mighty God who loved us so much that he gave his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And as we move into the time now that we're going to take of the Lord's Supper, I'm going to ask my deacons to go ahead and be ready to distribute the elements. I want you to understand what this is. It's just like baptism in that it's not going to save you, but it's a reminder of what God has done. And as Baptists, if you're from a different kind of background, as Baptists, we believe the only two ordinances, and I don't use the word sacrament because sacrament carries the idea that it has some salvation measure, but we call it ordinances because they were ordained or ordered by God or by Christ himself. But what both of them do is they point us to the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And when done rightly and done biblically, it's really neat to see how they work, because baptism really should be a one-time, once-in-a-lifetime flag in the sand, line in the sand, I'm going to live for Jesus. You say, well, preacher, I've been baptized 3 times. I will tell you this, you've been baptized once biblically, and you got wet twice. Because baptism is a one-time thing. I understand that, you know, a lot of folks walk through, they're baptized 6, 7, 8, 9 years old, get to be a teenager or adult, and they're like, I didn't have a clue what I was doing. And of course, we'll baptize you. But I will not use the terminology rebaptized. You're either baptized or you're not. And I'm not saying you're wrong if you've used that terminology, but I'm just saying baptism would be that one time in the sand. Yes, it's settled. But then Lord's Supper we do over and over and over and over again. Why? Because we need reminded. I hope you can look back to your baptism, and that's a wonderful thing. My children have an advantage over me. Ours, their baptisms are on video on YouTube. We can look at them anytime we want to, and I do on occasion, just to remind me that they're saved. No, I'm just kidding. They're saved. They show me they're saved. I have never made a joke against y'all in a sermon until right then. But anyway, praise the Lord. It's precious. It's precious to me to see their baptism. There's not a video of my baptism because I don't think they had video cameras then, except the TV stations. But then I can look back to the day and be reminded as I take of this Lord's Supper. It doesn't save you, but it's a reminder. It's not just a reminder because it's holy. It's something God has given us to do in remembrance of him. A lot of times in a lot of Baptist churches, that little table where the communionists sit, it says, do this in remembrance of me. Why? Because Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. We take the bread, the unleavened bread, it reminds us, it points us to his body. We take the cup and it reminds us of his blood. I invite you, if you have been born again, if you're a believer, to partake with us in the Lord's Supper. But I point you, I'll go ahead and guys, go ahead and start distributing the elements, and I will explain this as we're distributing the elements. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 11, beginning in verse 27, whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself, and then so eat of the bread and drink of the cup, for anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judge ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we were judged by the Lord, we are disciplined, so that we may not be condemned along with the world. Here's what was happening. They were taking the Lord's Supper. And let me remind you, as you take it out, there's two cups. The bread is on the bottom, the juice is on top. But they were taking the Lord's Supper. And in some ways, there at the church at Corinth, there were some that were taking the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. And Paul said, because you're taking this in an unworthy manner, some of you are sick and some of them have died because they took it in an unworthy manner. When I understood that text, the next thing I wanted to know is, how can I take the Lord's Supper in a worthy manner? Because as I read the text, decided I didn't want to take it in an unworthy manner because people were sick and people had died. So let me give you some instruction. Not to frighten you, not to scare you, but to remind us, this is holy ground. You would be taking of the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner if you've not yet been saved. If you've not yet been saved, I would ask you to restrain, to pass by and not take the Lord's Supper. Because the only way we are worthy before God is in Christ Jesus. And if I'm not in Christ Jesus, I'm not worthy to take the Lord's Supper. But if you've been saved, Christ has made you worthy. Not of any works you've done, but in what he's done. The only other instruction I would give is, if you have children, it's a great time for them to watch or to look on that. But if they've not been saved, it's not something that you would just appease them by letting them take of it. Or if there's a sin in your life that you know is sin in your life, but you refuse to repent of that sin and be made right with God in that sin, I would encourage you to abstain from the Lord's Supper. Unless you're willing right now to ask the Lord to forgive you of that sin. If I had unconfessed sin, I would not partake until I confess my sin. And I'm going to pray in a moment, and then we're going to take it. But here's how I would pray. This is how I pray, Lord. I'll name anything that's out there. I'll just tell you this. I keep a short list, so it's already been settled as far as what I know. But I'll ask you, Lord, search my heart, and if there's been anything I missed, anything that is not right with you, either show it to me and forgive me, or just go ahead and forgive me because I know you're right and I'm wrong. And just, how do we take the Lord's Supper in a worthy manner? The same way we're saved. In his grace. In his grace. So if you're going to take this thinking, man, I'm good, I'm worthy, I'm all that just on my own, then you're going to take it in an unworthy manner. But if you're taking it in his grace, then you're taking it as Jesus instructed us to take it. So I'm going to pray in just a moment, but as I pray, I want you to remember the cross, remember the death, remember the burial, remember the resurrection of Jesus. I want you to repent of any known sin and ask God to show you any sin that you may not be aware of. Then I want you to take some moment, even in this solemn moment, and rejoice over who God is. Remember, repent, rejoice. Let's pray together. Lord, in these moments, we remember the cross where you paid the price for our sins. The one who had not sinned, the one who was innocent without any guilt, laid down his life. Our Lord Jesus laid down his life freely. At any moment, he could have summoned legions of angels to wipe everybody out and could have come down off of that cross. But he willingly surrendered his life, crucified for our sins according to the scripture. Then his dead, lifeless body was taken down off of that cross and placed into a buried tomb. He was buried. And then on the third day, our Jesus rose from the grave according to the scripture, giving us victory over sin, death, and the grave. Lord, we remember right now. Lord, we confess any known sin and we ask you to search our hearts to show us any unrighteous thought or attitude or spirit, and we come to take of this Lord's Supper in your grace. It's the only way we come worthy is by the grace of Jesus. And Lord, we rejoice in all that you've done, in all that you're doing, and even how you're going to work all things together for your glory and our good and the things that just don't make sense right now. We rejoice that you are God and that you are on your throne. Lord, we remember, we repent, we rejoice. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 11, beginning in verse 23, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Paul continued and said in the same way, beginning in verse 25, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Then he finishes in verse 26, "For as often as you eat this bread and drank the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." You see what he did there? We proclaim the past, the death of Christ, until when? Until the future, Jesus comes. That's why Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." What should you do in response to the Lord's Supper today? I would challenge you, if you've never been saved, why would you wait another moment? I want you to come as soon as we start singing musicians, you come and get ready for our time of invitation. But I pray that as we begin singing, you would just say, "You know what? I need to settle this thing. I've been playing around with it. I might even been pretty religious, but I've never surrendered to Christ Jesus." I pray in just a moment you come and you'd be saved. Some of you have been saved. There's no doubt in your heart and in others' hearts that you've surrendered to Christ and you know you've trusted Christ, but you've yet to follow the Lord in baptism. You need to come and say, "Hey, I need to be baptized." Now, here's the deal. We're so close to that building. If you want to wait till we get over there, I won't fuss at you too much. But how about we go ahead and nail it down that you're on the list and it's time for you to get baptized. You come and say, "Preacher, I need to get baptized. I know it won't save me, but I need to be obedient to what God's called me to do." Why? Because I'm his child and I want to say yes, Lord, in everything. Others of you, there's just sin that has crept in your life. Some of you, it's just kind of snuck in. Some of you, it's been there for months, years, maybe even decades, and you're never going to have the victory in Christ Jesus God wants you to have until you deal with sin, and you need to come and ask the Lord to forgive you. You don't have to come to me. You can go straight to Jesus, but you need to deal with that sin so you can be right with God. God does not want you staying in bondage of sin. He wants you to have victory in Christ Jesus. You won't be sinless. You won't be sinless on this side of heaven. You're still going to have struggles. You're still going to make mistakes. But we ought to sin less as children of God than the people of the world. We ought not to have anything that holds us in bondage. God doesn't want that for his children. Maybe you just have a burden. Maybe you have a loved one. You know they don't know Christ. And you just want to spend some time praying here in the altar or with a pastor, begging the Lord to do whatever it takes to save them. As we've been reminded of the cross of the gospel, oh Lord, let us leave different. Don't just go through the motions, let us leave different. What kind of disciple have you been? Are you walking with Jesus? Or maybe you're like I was and just realized I'm not as passionate as I was and you just need some renewal. You're just tired. I understand. Maybe you would just ask, maybe a simple prayer, "Lord, just renew the joy of my salvation." Not your salvation, but the joy of your salvation. What is it that God wants to do in your heart? As we sing, as we stand, won't you come and be obedient to what the Lord's told you to do? Let's stand together all over the building as we sing. Lord Jesus, as we respond to your word, as we respond to your challenge to us to love God and love people, seek the lost and make disciples, as we respond after remembering what you did for us on the cross, may you have your way as we respond. In Jesus' risen name we pray. Amen.